questions.
You always use my mother told me to shut up, she's right.
Less questions, the only answers.
That's the answer.
Right. Okay. We are, with the help of Hashem, we are studying a discourse that was said in 1967, this Shabbat V'Halotecha, and that's 40 years ago. And the discourse actually focuses on the first verse of the Haftorah of the Sedra. Let's just have a look. It's the pages are put in slightly the wrong order, but the first page is the beginning of the Haftorah of Baalotecha, this week's Sedra. Rani v'simchi bat Zion, sing and rejoice, the daughter of Zion. Ki hineni va, because behold, I am coming. V'shachanti b'tochech ne'um Hashem, and I will dwell in your midst, says God. And it's a very beautiful expression of the way the nations will flock to God on that day, and you will be for me a nation, and I will dwell among you, and so on. And it continues, if you look at the next page, which is actually the last page of the Haftorah, it says there, see, if you go to the third page, you've got Vayomer Elai, verse 2, at the bottom. Vayomer Elai said to me, this is an angel saying to him, Ma ata roe, what do you see? This is from Zechariah. Va'oman, I said, Ra'iti v'hine menorat zahav. Here you have to go back to the second page. I see a menorah of gold, kula. It's all of it gold. V'gula al-rosha, and there's a bowl at the top of the menorah. There's a beautiful, beautiful description of a golden menorah with a golden bowl and pipes coming from this. This bowl is a reservoir of oil. And pipes come from that reservoir of oil, and at the end of the pipes are lights, are lamps. And there is an image of olive trees standing above the bowl pouring their oil into the bowl, into this golden bowl. So it's like a very, very spiritual image. Now, presumably, the reason why this Haftorah has been appended to our Sedra, Baha'alotecha, is because, if you look at the next page, the fourth page in, where you have the first page, the beginning of the Sedra, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, God spoke to Moses, saying, Daber Aaron, speak to Aaron, v'amate elav, and say to him, Baalotecha et hanerot, when you light the lamps, that means the lamps of the golden menorah, el mul pnei hamenorah ya'iru shibat hanerot, the seven lamps of the menorah, the seven flames, should somehow be pointing towards the pnei hamenorah, to the middle of the menorah. They should be focused. They should be pointing. So it's speaking about the golden menorah at the beginning of the Sedra, and so therefore, at the end of the Torah reading, we have the Haftorah, and the Haftorah is has in it this passage about the menorah. However, the menorah only comes at the very end of the passage. Now, this section, this Haftorah, is read twice in the year as the Haftorah. It's once read as Shabbat Chanukah, relating directly to the Chanukah menorah, and also for our Sedra Baha'alotecha. So,
why is it read twice? And there are many read twice.
Several are read twice. Yeah, it turns out like
there's enough.
There's the whole 20. There's 19 books of Tanakh that you could choose, but
it's because of the menorah.
It's because of the menorah, but it's interesting that it's particularly this passage which is taken. And the other interesting thing about it is that we don't begin off with the menorah. The menorah comes right at the end of the passage, and so there we are reading, first of all, rejoice and sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion. Okay? So that's how the maimah, the discourse actually begins. Ghani v'simchi bat Zion, sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion. And so we will try to prepare for this by singing ourselves in order to be able to hear what this discourse is saying. Rani v'simchi bat Zion, sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion. Umedayik admur hazaken b'torah or. And Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, makes the comment in his book Torah or in the section Drushei Chanukah, which is the discourses relating to Chanukah, Dibu HaMaschil Zeh, in a mimer which begins in this way, the Luchora, at first sight, Haya Tzarich Lahatchil HaHaftorah B'Shabbat Chanukah. One would have thought that the Haftorah of Shabbat Chanukah would begin with the verse later on in this section of the Haftorah, the Pasuk, Vayoma Alai, and he said to me, Ra'iti Behine Menorah Zahav. I looked and I saw a golden menorah. V'lama matchidin b'rani b'simchi bat Zion. Why, asks Rabbi Shneur Zalman, sorry the line is faint, why does it begin with sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion. Umavaya Sham, and he explains there, Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains, Shehashaychud Rani v'simchi bat Zion, the connection between the verse, sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion. This verse has a connection l'Chanukah, to the festival of Chanukah. And what is that connection? It is, Ki bat Zion, because daughter of Zion, Kai al Knesset Yisrael, relates to the Jewish people Bizman HaGalut, at the time of exile. The Bizman HaBayit, because at the time of the temple, Nikret Knesset Yisrael B'Shem Tzion, the Jewish people are called Tzion, Zion itself. Ubizman HaGalut, but at the time of exile, Nikret Bat Tzion, they're called the daughter of Zion. So the daughter of Zion expresses this exilic plight of the Jewish people. K'mavur sham baruka, as is explained at length there. And Chanukah was a time of exile of the Jewish people, even though we were in the land of Israel, but we were in a state of exile within the land of Israel because the Greeks were ruling Israel and we were subject to them. And Chanukah is about the battle whereby, thank God, we threw off the subjugation. But because it expresses the quality of being in a time of exile, so it's daughter of Zion. Right,
they imposed an exilic state.
That's right. Oh, yeah. The Tzarich Lehavin, says our discourse here, we have to understand that the Yukanal, that this point about why the Haftorah begins with these words, Rani v'simchi bat Zion, instead of talking about the menorah, Hu gam b'haftorah de Shabbat Pashat Balotcha. That question applies also to the Haftorah of Shabbat of Pashat Balotcha, our Shabbat. Shebismichut v'zman matan Torahtenu, which comes closely after the time of the giving of the Torah. We have the giving of the Torah, then usually it's Parshat Naso, and then Vahalotacha. So it's always a week or so, 10 days after Matan Torah, after Shavuot. The Matan Torah, who in Yan Cherut, the idea of the giving of the Torah is freedom, the very opposite of exile. Va'af apichein, and even so, gam hatchalat haftorah, the Shabbat parshat Baalotcha, also the beginning of the haftorah of this Shabbat, hi rani v'simchi bat Zion, is sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion. V'hine, right, so the question is, in the case of Shabbat Chanukah, we can understand why it's Bat Zion, the daughter of Zion, because Chanukah is about a state of exile. However, this Shabbat, we're shortly after the giving of the Torah, and it is an atmosphere of freedom. Why the opposite of exile? So why should, in Parshat Baalotecha, so why should there be, why should it begin in this way, this exilic way, with the words, daughter of Zion? V'hinei b'Torah or Sham, now in the book Torah or by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, where there are actually several discourses, beginning on Ani v'Simchi, and in the first of these discourses, Mekasher ha-pasuk rani v'simchi bat Zion, he connects this verse, rejoice, sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion, in ma'amah ha-midrash, in a saying in the midrash, in midrash rabbah, and it is on the verse, al ha-pasuk, tse'ena ure'ena benot Zion, go out and see daughters of Zion, b'melech Shlomo, the king Shlomo, the king Solomon, ba'atara she'itcha lo imo, the crown which his mother made for him. And it says there in the Midrash, now that's a verse in Song of Songs, and so there is something special about King Solomon, and there's this crown, and then we have mentions his mother, and now it says in the Midrash, Mashal Lemelech, this is a parable of a king. And the king, it doesn't say it here, but I looked it up in the Midrash. The king had a daughter. And this daughter was very precious to him. Lozaz michavava, he did not desist from expressing his love to his daughter, achikara biti, and he called her my daughter as an expression of endearment. Lozaz michavava, he didn't desist from expressing his affection, ad shekara achoti, a higher level. He called her my sister. Lo zaz michavava ad shekara imi. He didn't desist from his affection. He loved her so much. He called her my mother. Sigmund Freud. Right. So here we have the different madrigot, different levels in this relationship or this expression of love and endearment, daughter, sister, mother.
Why do you leave that one?
That's quite like that confusing of you know, like American men say my old lady.
Right.
Meaning my wife.
As opposed to my mother.
Lennon used to call Yoko mother. Come on, mother. You know, it's this thing of a woman being so all-encompassing.
Well, it's interesting. There are a lot of Lubavitch families where the husband calls his wife mummy, because she's the mother of the children. So therefore, in talking to her in front of the children, and sometimes years later,
that's also a working class.
She's called mummy.
That's also working class.
And a step further is calling her Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby as well.
That's hilarious. But you know that working class thing is like, come on, mother, you know, meaning in front of the children, they call them mother.
Yes.
As well. It's also a working class thing. It's not just, you know,
a British working class thing.
Yes, well, exactly.
There's no doubt many pieces of research have been done on this. But here we have, and now, David asks, why doesn't it say wife? you could say a lot of Shir HaShirim is about relationship between husband and wife, or it's a relationship between God and Israel, but it's in terms of man and woman, husband and wife. However, sometimes it changes the image right at the beginning. Bati legani achoti kala. You see, right at the beginning of Song of Songs, I came in. Oh no, it's chapter 5 of Song of Songs. I came into my garden. The beginning is Shirim Hashem Yishlomo, Song of Songs to Solomon. But in chapter 5 of Song of Songs, Bati legani, I came into my garden. Achoti kala, my sister, my bride. So there, and of course, there's reams of ink explaining, or paper with ink on it, explaining the mixed metaphor, explaining what the different image is. There's a beautiful image about Achoti Kala, that one has a double relationship with one's life. On the one hand, she's one's bride, and on the other hand, she's one's sister. So
well, it's almost like saying my compatriot as well.
Woman?
Yeah, you know, like sister in the sense friend. Of you know, but sisters in arms, as it
yes,
were.
Yeah, my friend. Yeah, like being beloved and being best friend, which is
what
the goal.
What does a woman say?
My husband, my brother.
that's a very muddled.
I know, but I mean, the point,
it's
written by King David.
Solomon.
See, black people are sorry, but black yes, people but call each other sister, a common sister.
Yeah,
you know. If I'd read that, I would have understood it immediately what they meant. Mm. I wouldn't have thought, oh, why is he saying sister?
Mm.
I think that's a very literal reading of the text. Not a very intelligent reading, you know.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is that we have in these words, daughter, sister, mother, three dimensions
of womanhood.
Well, we're moving from the mashal to the nimshal, from the parable to what the parable is about, the Jew in relation to God, whether it's a Jewish man or a Jewish woman, but in relation to God, these three different dimensions. So let's see how it explains this. Umavayasham, this way it says, footnote 10, right in the middle of the fourth line down in this paragraph 2. Umavayasham, and he explains there, the gimel in Yanimeinu, that these three concepts, biti, achoti, imi, my daughter, here? Paragraph bet, biti, achoti, imi, right? In brackets at the end of the line, my daughter, my sister, my mother, ba'avodat ha'adam, in the service of a person, when the person is serving God, they are three different concepts. Hen kiyuma mitzvot, keeping mitzvot. That's biti, my daughter. That's the first level, simply keeping mitzvot. Esek haTorah, study of Torah, which is a deeper level. Va'avodah demesirat nefesh, and the service of self-sacrifice, going beyond oneself. That is the highest level, which is imi, my mother. The bekiyum mitzvot adam mekayim et mitzvot hamitzvah hu bechinat mekabel, because when one is just keeping mitzvot in a very simple way, we're not talking about keeping mitzvot with great kavanot and great spirituality and a great sense of what one is doing. It's just, there's a mitzvah that has to be done, and so you're doing the mitzvah. You know, comes Shabbat, you know, Friday night, so the wife lights Shabbat candles, and the husband makes kiddush, and they eat challah, and they keep Shabbat. They're doing the mitzvah. It's not as if they are radiating with their sensitivity to the power of these mitzvahs. They're doing it because this is what you do, and they're trying to live a Jewish life on some level, and so keeping the mitzvah. Because when one keeps the mitzvah in this simple way, hubchinat makabel, the person keeping the mitzvah is just receiving, and bat, daughter, represents the recipient dimension. It's just someone who is receiving. Shehu makabel et ha'amshacha, he receives the flow shenimshechet al yedei kiyum ha'mitzvah, which is drawn down through keeping the mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah without necessarily any kind of inner arousal. And nonetheless, there is a flow that comes to him or her without realizing it, necessarily, that comes from keeping the mitzvah. There's a fact, by the fact you are, let's say, creating a Shabbat atmosphere in the home by lighting Shabbat candles, making kiddush, and so on, and, you know, not turning on the television. At that moment, there is a spiritual aura which is there, which, to a certain extent, we might be sensitive to a little bit, but we don't think of it when we are doing these things. We're just doing it because that's what you do. So in that sense, one is receiving. It's not something one is actively doing. One is really just receiving. One's doing the mitzvah, but it's just something one is doing, and as you know, from that comes something which one may or may not be sensitive to. Now, Torah study is more subtle. Validei esek haTorah, but through study of Torah, na'asim Yisrael achim v'raim la'kodesh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people become, so to speak, brothers, friends, companions of the Holy One. Blessed be He. Achoti, and that's what it means, my sister. That we become like a sister to Hashem, because there is the tremendous spiritual quality. Judith shaking her head at the chauvinist just, Jews.
Just the versatility of the Jewish male, that he's everything. He even steals all the femininity and every one of the touches.
But the feminine has this just as much as a man. There's no difference. In the relationship with God, the feminine has this just as much.
Sure.
You know, so the feminine is...
We're all very versatile, and multi-sexual and multi-roles and everything.
So there we become, as it were, companions to Hashem, Achoti, my sister, like, for example, the discourses where even when God tried to intervene, so to speak, in the discussion of the sages, they rejected God's opinion and said, no, the Torah, lo b'shamayim, it's not in heaven, we sages here on earth have to decide it. And God smiled and said, nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni, my children have conquered me. So this whole idea of being an ach, a brother or a sister to God. And so that is my daughter and then my sister. And then we have the highest level. Val yedei avodah demesirat nefesh. Through the service of self-sacrifice, mesirat nefesh, which is the person going beyond their reason, beyond normal considerations, beyond every aspect of normality, nikra b'shem imi. He becomes the called mother. In relation to who? To God.
That's too wonderful. This is polymorphous, not perverse at all. It's just polymorphous omnipotence.
Shehem mashpi'im. Well, look at the next line.
Wonderful stuff on femininity.
Shehem mashpi'im kaviyachol b'hakadosh baruch hu. They pour, flow, so to speak, into godliness. Now that's a fascinating idea. And in fact, the doctorate that I wrote on the Mittler Rebbe, on the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, was about the concept of self-sacrifice in the Mittler Rebbe's teachings. And in this, in his writings, you have this most fascinating idea that it's by the virtue of the fact that the Jewish people sometimes go completely beyond every kind of category with a sense of utter dedication to God, that they are pouring, they are reaching the level of atzmut, of the essence of the divine, and from that they are pouring into the levels which are more revealed. So they pour into the Torah, they pour into Yudke Vavke, they reach a higher level because this self-sacrifice is actually an expression of the atzmut, the essence of the soul, which is bonded with the essence of God, and so reaching that level is something transcendent, and it's here called imi, the mother, so to speak. That the mother gives something even to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to the Holy One. So that is what it this says...
That's what Winnicott called the female element present in all men, women and children.
Okay.
Not knowing what he was talking about.
Okay.
Just sensing it, he said, for want of a better word.
Seems. There's Jewish soul speaking through.
There's a Rabbi Epstein in Israel that's using him all the time.
Okay. V'yesh v'kashazeh, now this concept which is there in the discourse in Torah Or, which takes the Midrash and explains it in this way, these three levels of daughter and sister and mother, this can be connected im hamavur v'chama mekomot in another passage of teaching, ala pasuk ba'atara she'itcha lo emor, on this same verse in Song of Songs, the crown that his mother crowned him, da tara she'itcha kneset Yisrael emor la'kodesh baruch hu. What is this crown that the Jewish people, that means, so to speak, the mother, gave God? What is the crown? Hu al yedei she'ikdimu na'aseh l'nishma. It's because they said, we will do, and only then we will hear. In other words, that sense of total acceptance of godliness, which we performed at the giving of the Torah, before the giving of the Torah, we said na'aseh, before we said nishma, we will do before we will hear, from which we got two crowns. But in addition to those two crowns that we got as the Jewish people, we, in a sense, are giving a crown to God. There is some, the crown expresses like some kind of glory. And by the fact that the Jewish people dedicate themselves to God in such an intense way, in some sense, ki habitul, the selflessness, the haktamat na'aseh l'nishma, of saying na'aseh before nishma, of saying we agree to do anything before we even hear what it is, hu ka habitul de mesirat nefesh. That relates to the self-abandon of self-sacrifice. Okay, so we have here a number of different constructs. We have the idea of daughter, sister, and mother, which are different levels. The daughter is the mitzvot, the sister is learning Torah, the mother is self-sacrifice. And
self-sacrifice, is this with the hakrid getting closer?
It's getting closer to Hashem, but it's in the sense of Abraham being ready to sacrifice Isaac.
Okay.
Or a person, they say, baptism or death in the Crusades. And that's right. The whole idea of Kiddush Hashem, which may be, God forbid, the opposite of life, might be a person giving up their life in death, but there are deeper concepts of Kiddush Hashem as well, that the person lives in a state of Kiddush Hashem. For example, in the Holocaust, there was a very beautiful concept coined by someone called Kiddush HaChaim, the sanctification of life, that in Auschwitz or somewhere like that, it was more difficult to stay alive. It was more painful to stay alive than it was to die.
Yeah.
And the fact of a person's striving with a kind of a self-abandon to remain alive in order to help her sister or something like that, this was a tremendously powerful spiritual concept. And so you have the idea of living with Mesirut Nefesh. This is a thing that the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, talks about himself. The idea of dying for Mesirut Nefesh, and then, as if dying, but actually living. And living in a totally powerful way beyond all considerations. A life of Mesirut Nefesh, a life of self-sacrifice. That's hopefully a long and healthy life. But it's now okay. Next page 12. V'yesh lomar, and one could suggest the mahatamim shekorim pashut ba'alotcha et hanerot la'achalei chag ha'shvua. One of the reasons why this section of the Torah ba'alotcha, which talks about the nerot, the lamps, why we read this after Shavuot, who is because. Ki neirot kai al neshamot Yisrael. The lamps relate, or they mean the Jewish souls. As it says, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam, the lamp of God is the soul of man. The Perush Ner Hashem hu Shehaneshama Me'ira Mashpat Kaviyachol LaHashem. Meaning, the lamp of God means that in some sense the soul shines, gives some sort of radiance to Yudke Vavke, to the divine. Ukudita b'midrash shel pasuk pa'alotra et ha'neot, or as the midrash says on this verse, when you raise up, when you light the lamps, she Yisrael me'irin lemi shemeir l'chol ha'olam. The Jewish people shine to the one who shines to the whole world. So there we have the spiritual quality, the spiritual power, that we are able in some sense to shine to godliness, which makes us realize what a tremendous responsibility we have and how careful we have to be. The inyan ze shaykh lechag ha-shavuot, and this relates to the festival of Shavuot, atara she'itra lo imo, the crown which his mother made for him. In other words, the Jewish people somehow, by saying na'aseh v'nishma, we will do before we will hear, that gives this radiance, as it were, to the divine. Val pizeh, and according to this, tzarich lahavin od yoter, we have to understand more, ma shehaftorah deshavat parashat ba'alotcha, why is the haftorah of this Shabbat, where really the whole concept of this Shabbat is the mother, the highest level. This Shabbat is a Shabbat which comes shortly after the giving of the Torah, when we said Naaseh before Nishma, and therefore we have this spiritual power, so to speak, of the mother, of the menorah, which is shining its radiance to the divine. We're on the highest level. So why does our Haftorah begin Rani v'simchi bat Tzion? Why does it focus on the daughter at the beginning of the Haftorah? Whoever was organizing it could have put the Haftorah beginning a few verses later. When it begins here with the daughter of Zion, which expresses the idea of the lowest level. Why? Surely we're on a higher level. Now what this discourse is going to do, in a most fascinating way, you see, there are lots of different slots where a person is able to see themselves mirrored in Hasidic teachings in one way or the other. Or there are lots of different aspects of the person that Hasidic teaching will focus on. And there are inspired people who are deeply inspired. And there are people who are considerable scholars. Or there's an aspect of us. There's an aspect of us which is inspired, maybe. There's an active aspect of us which can be a scholar. But there's also an aspect of just simply doing the mitzvah. Now, my wife, long ago, many years ago, wrote a psychological study, a study which was published in a journal of psychology and Judaism, I think it was. So she was writing a study of Chabad women and their relationship to Judaism. And she interviewed a number of different Chabad women. Some of them had been born as Chabad women, some of them had become Chabad women. And she divided, I can't remember the exact division, but the way that I remember it, there were affirmers, there were inspired people who were like radiant with inspiration. There were affirmers who were like very positive about the whole thing. You know, not actually inspired, but very positive. And then there are resistors. And the resistors are people who are very reluctant. But somehow, willy-nilly, they get, you know, they get dragged in, as it were, you know, another mitzvah, another minhag, another custom, another, you know, like start keeping kosher. She had this beautiful description by a lady who says how she, there she was, like, and they considered themselves Orthodox Jewish girls. They were Orthodox. And every, like, Sunday afternoon, they would go to a certain ice cream parlor. It was actually in Dublin. They would go to an ice cream parlor. And one day, this, like, 14, 15-year-old girl, sitting in this Dublin ice cream parlor, suddenly says, maybe to herself or maybe to the girl next to her, you know what? This ice cream isn't kosher. And it was like a tremendous realization for her that, and she made it all by herself. She made this realization all by herself. The ice cream wasn't kosher. What they, as Orthodox Jewish girls who went to shul every Shabbat and, you know, did Jewish things, but they were eating something not kosher. And she suddenly realized this, and she stopped eating the ice cream, and her life took a completely different turn, and she became a very, very from Hasidic woman, and married a Hasidic man. So that's you know, but she was maybe an affirmer or maybe an inspired person. But there were other people who were resisting, and this discourse, in a way, is about the power of being a resistor, the power of being dragged to the mitzvah and somehow being forced to do the mitzvah because your wife expects you to do the mitzvah, or the people next door expect you to do the mitzvah, or the children expect you to do the mitzvah, or God expects you to do the mitzvah. You're somehow, it's in a sense, it's not coming from you. But this, in a way, is the highest thing of all. Because it's, in one sense, the lowest, that's why it's Bat Zion, the daughter of Zion, instead of the sister or the mother. The mother is an inspired person who is on a level of Mesirut Nefesh, of self-sacrifice, and the Achot, the sister, is studying Torah, which makes her inspired as well. But here we're talking about doing mitzvah without inspiration. And we're talking about the spiritual power of that, which is something so crucial. Va'inyan hu, section Gimel. The concept is as follows: Sham shochar shalidei kimu mitzvot biti, the flow which comes through the keeping of the mitzvot biti, my daughter, hi amshacha na'alit yoter, is a higher level of flow me'amshacha shalidei avodah da'achoti bi'imi, than through the service of my sister and my mother. Ki avodah misirat nefesh imi, starting at the top, because the service of self-sacrifice of mother, valderech se'esek ha-Torah achoti, and similarly that of study of Torah, my sister, mikiven shehi avodah ruchanit, since in both cases it's a spiritual service, yesh la shaychut lam shachash nimshechet ha-yedah. It relates, it's spiritual. A person learns Torah, they're being spiritual. A person has self-sacrifice, they're spiritual. It relates lam shachash nimshechet al yada. It relates to the flow, the spiritual flow which comes through that action. V'kiven shaham shachash al yada avodah da'achoti v'imi. And since the flow that comes through the service of my sister, my mother, hi kamo itaruta dila'ela, is like an arousal from above, שמתעוררת ונמשכת על ידי התארות הדלטטה, which is aroused and drawn down through the arousal from below, ההמשכה היא רק ממקום שהתארות הדלטטה מגעת לשם. The flow comes only from the place where the arousal from below reaches. I'm going to draw a diagram of this in a minute, hopefully. So let's just read the next few lines. וההמשכה שעל ידי מעשה המצווה, but the flow which comes through the action of the mitzvot, שעשיית המצווה היא עשייה גשמית, and the action of the mitzvah is just a physical action, שאינו בערך כלל, completely without any, it's infinitesimally small compared with the spiritual revelations that the mitzvah achieves, היא כמו התארותא דלעילא שמצד עצמה. Because the action of the mitzvah is like nothing, it's as if there's an arousal from above just by itself. And therefore the flow comes from the essence of the infinite. Okay, let's just try and understand this. We've got two levels of flow that we're talking about here, and two levels of activity. So we have the essence of the infinite. Then we have a kind of a lower a lower level, which is also divine, but it's a lower level of divine flow. Now, if the person has mesilut nefesh, or Torah study, which are both very spiritual things, they reach this level, and that causes a response. So there's a flow coming down.
Why isn't there a flow that flows through that up?
Well, you see, it's triggering off. It's like the...
Yeah, but why it doesn't go up into the essence of the inflow?
It doesn't go right up because it's too spiritual. It's too aware. It's too aware, and because it's so aware, it can't go so high. Because awareness...
Oh, interesting.
You see, if we were aware, we will get blown out of our mind. So we can't go too far. We can't go too close. So therefore, it is the unaware mitzvah, see, which I'm putting in black just to express the unawareness of this mitzvah, which actually reaches the essence, but in an unconscious way. So it's really as if the essence were flowing down of its own accord, because we don't sense this ascent, because we're talking about a resisting mitzvah, a mitzvah which is just somehow or other the person has to do the mitzvah. But I'm not talking about someone who, the discourse is not talking about someone who is a great Kabbalist, a very, very spiritual person, who when they do the mitzvah, it's like an enormously spiritual event. We're talking about someone just doing the mitzvah because that's what people do, because now it's time to do it, or maybe I'll do it today. And they're doing it. And it's the mitzvah sanoshim alumada almost. It's the ordinary mitzvahs, the habitual mitzvahs. And this habitual mitzvah does actually trigger off a flow. And what is causing the flow to be triggered off is an unconscious ascent of this mitzvah. And so then what is flowing down, it's as if it's an itaruta de la ela, it's as if it's an arousal from above without having been triggered off. Arousal from above. You see, that is coming, the arousal from above, without the attraction of the initial arousal from below. See, the whole Zohar talks in terms of these different dimensions, the arousal from below and the response from above. And so Chabad Hasidic teaching takes this up in a very powerful way. And here we have the idea that the mitzvah triggers off a flow which is almost as if it was an arousal from above, beyond, from the essence, which is beyond this sort of more circumscribed level. See, in the Mittler Rebbe, there's a very interesting image that I'm sure I've shared with you many times, of a circle. And the pure action of the mitzvah is at the bottom of the circle. And the essence of God is at the top. And spiritual reachings upwards are like in the middle. But the spiritual reaching can only go a certain distance. The action of the mitzvah is on the circumference. And that circumference joins the action to the essence. So it's by being at the lowest position on the level of the action of the mitzvah that one is actually bonded to the very essence of the divine. Whereas the quest for spirituality can often work in on itself in some way and actually be restricting the person, you could say in simple terms, because their own ego is too much involved. As they sense the spirituality, their ego blossoms. And so that immediately stops them from going through the gap and connecting to the infinite. That's
too self-aware.
That's right. That's right. Exactly that. You know, the person davens in a very inspiring way. Now, I believe that it's right to try to daven in an inspiring way, and I
inspired
hope
way
that...
Inspiring?
Inspiring for
yeah,
oneself,
yeah?
Daven,
yeah.
Okay.
You have to begin the bitul, to lose yourself to
but,
time.
Yeah, but then comes the problem of the person who says, oh, you know, I really davened today. You know, I really had a beautiful experience today. You know, so that's already... you know, that's where this it twists backwards on itself, and so you have the limitations.
But maybe that's why in sexual union, in real intercourse, sometimes some of the highest spiritual levels are attained, unity, because that's mindless.
Well, the intimacy is a very spiritual dimension of life.
Yeah,
intimacy is a contact with God. There's the Isha, man and woman, when they unite together, the Yud in the man and the Hay in the woman unite together as the Yud Ke, the divine name, so the presence of the divine.
Yep.
So it is, in a sense, through self transcendence,
yeah,
that kind of spiritual experience would be felt.
Yeah.
Now, so we are now on page on the middle of this page, Vav, the Yesh Lo Hosif.
Hang on. Where is Vav?
The second page. Hey is the first page.
Yes. Then I've got a very funny looking page.
Oh. No, that's the last page.
What's the next one in my little booklet?
Oh, just one second.
And then I've got Haftarah again. So, one minute. I found that.
You found that, okay.
The brother was floating around.
Somehow hidden, okay.
I found it. And the Dayek.
Actually, we're at the last two and a half lines from the last two lines of the first paragraph in Gimel. V'zeu rani v'simchi bat Zion. That's what it means. Sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion. Ki hineni v'avashachanti b'tochech. Behold, I come and I'm going to dwell within you. The idea that I'm coming, God is coming, includes two concepts. Hinini muchan ma'atzmi, shelo al yedei itaharut hadatata. I, God, am ready to be with you, not through an arousal from below, because the arousal from below doesn't reach me. Ba, and I am coming, ani ba'atzmi kaviyachol. I myself, so to speak, all and sof ba'uchu mamash, I myself am coming, that when it's beyond the arousal from below, you see, this arousal from below, let's put a kind of a bracket around it, it doesn't really, it's not sensed, and it's not really there. There is an arousal from above, from the very, very essence. So there is the mitzvah, it's triggering off the very essence. Now, what he goes into in the next paragraph, the next half of Gimel, is different levels of self-transcendence. That it's seeking, and it's like a very interesting thing, the way in which you can have selflessness, but then there's a higher level, you know, you can be aware of yourself in your selflessness. And so the simple mitzvah, which is so low, that's actually where the real selflessness is. That's where that it's in the simplicity of simple Jewish life.
Yom yom.
That's right. Day by day, normal Jewish life. That's what this discourse is a poem to. The grandeur and the power of the simplicity of ordinary mitzvah. Okay, so let's go on to Okay, now this concept of selflessness, he's now discussing this kind of simplicity in relation to Mesilut Nefesh. So let's take it in the context of the way it's saying it. Dalad, v'tzarich lahavin. Now we have to we've jumped a little bit to page Zayin. Design. Dalit. But Tzarich Lahavin, you have it?
Yeah,
Zion and its paragraph. Now we have to understand. The Kivin She'imi he avodah de Mesirat Nefesh, since my mother is the highest level, the service of self-sacrifice, the Mesirat Nefesh u'inyan abitul, and self-sacrifice means selflessness, bitul.
Bitul.
Bitul. Bitul means nullification. Mm. And in this sense, like the bitul chametz, to nullify the chametz.
Bitulah is a version.
No, that's with the taf. Oh,
okay.
This is with the taf.
Okay. Right.
Ubefrat batel, I think, means tasteless. Yes, it's nullified. You know, like gone.
Cancel. Batel. Cancel.
And the batel, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I want to cancel my mobile phone. I want to sell a batel. Iyefsha. You signed up for 7 years. Forget it. And especially according to what we mentioned earlier in chapter base, the crown that the Jewish people, the mother, make for God, so to speak, is by saying Nase before Nishma. And this idea of saying we will do before we will hear, that is a real self-surrender to the author of the will, to God himself. So we're talking about a very exalted level. This mother dimension is very, very exalted. How can you compare Maya Malamba Bitul the Biti? How can you compare the selflessness of the daughter Allah bitul the imi with the selflessness of the mother? V'yesh lomer b'zeh, and one can suggest here she habitul b'haktamat na'aseh l'nishma, the bitul, the selflessness through saying we will do before we will hear, hu she Yisrael kiblu aleim ol malchut shemayim, is that the Jewish people, underlined, accepted on them the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. Velechein, and therefore, avsha bitul de kabbalat ol malchut shemayim hu, even though this concept of acceptance of the yoke is so powerful, be'etzem mitziyoto, with the very essence of one's being, shekol mitziyoto hu zeh shu avdo shel melech, his whole being is that he is the servant of the king, melech malchei melachim, the king of kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, mikol makom, nonetheless, Kivan shav kabaratol malchut shemayim ba mitzad adam. Since it's the person who is making this step of acceptance of the yoke, shahu, that he underlined, kibel alav liot avdo shemelech, he accepted he would be the servant of the king. Hare bebitul zeh, in this self-nullification, mu'orevet gam metziuto shel adam, is also mixed in the self of the person. So you see, there we have this idea of with the self being there because I am doing it. I have got Mesilut Nefesh. I am dedicating myself to God. V'amitita bitul, and the true dimension of selflessness, Hu kosha habitul hu mitzad adon, is when the quality of selflessness comes about because the master commands the servant. It comes from God to us. God is the one who is taking us in some way and putting us into the situation of being a Jew in the modern world and living and keeping the Torah in this way and that way, in this mitzvah, yes, that mitzvah, I'm not so sure. But it's somehow we're being drawn along on a kind of a, it's a divine dimension which is affecting us. And that is, that's this lowest dimension of the mitzvah of the daughter, and in a certain sense, it's the most powerful. It's the highest level. V'yesh lomar, one can suggest, zeh masha katuv, that's what it says, another part of the Torah, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. God says, the Jewish people are slaves to me. Avodai heim, they are my servants. Asher hoceiti otam eretz Mitzrayim, I took them out of the land of Egypt. The zesh Yisrael heim avadim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that the Jewish people are servants, slaves to God, is lo rak mipnei sheheim kiblu ol malchuto yitbarach. Not only because they accepted the yoke of his kingship, ele gam mipnei sheHaKadosh Baruch Hu hoci otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, but because God took us out of the land of Egypt. Shal yedei zeh hem muchachim, and because of that, they must liyot avadim, they must be his slaves, his servants. Ve'inyan zeh nimshach b'yikar b'shad matan Torah. And this concept of our bond with God despite ourselves and beyond ourselves is particularly expressed and manifested at the giving of the Torah. Now all this runs in a different stream to what we sometimes find in the Rebbe's teachings and in Chabad Chassidus in general about finding yourself. You see, there's the concept of finding yourself, and where the focus in a sense is on yourself as yourself, who is the person who is really you. It's you get to a deeper dimension of your own self. But here we're transcending the self. Here we are going to a level of selflessness which is beyond the self, so much so that all the other dimensions of selflessness, such as mesil nefesh, which is really considered something where we go beyond ourself, and yet nonetheless here even mesil nefesh, self-sacrifice, is seen as something where the self is involved, and it's the simple mitzvah. It's the simple mitzvah of the person living in the modern world, keeping a mitzvah. That is where we are seeing the glow and the power at this moment.
We've had this concept before, haven't we, of the thing which is lower going to the highest place. The thing which is higher going to a lower place. I had it last week, in fact.
Yeah.
That's a recurring theme.
All right, so the next paragraph, paragraph 5, talks more about the way at the giving of the Torah, God made the Jewish people into his servants in a very intense way. We have this bond with God, as it were, coming from the dimension of godliness. Now, if we can go to the last page, page Chet, which is the separate page. Do you have it? That's the one. Right, this is the last page of the discourse. We're now coming to the concept of exile. Up to now, we've been talking about the idea of the giving of the Torah, which is a very exalted atmosphere, the time of Shavuot. But in fact, the greatness of Shavuot is the fact that we become the servant of God beyond ourselves and beyond our spiritual kavanot and the revelations of the divine that we experience when we study Torah, but just the simplicity of being a Jew keeping the mitzvah. And now we're going back to the concept of exile. Remember, we began with the concept of exile, the idea that this Haftorah is the Haftorah of Shabbat Chanukah, which relates to exile, and that's why the Haftorah begins with this Bat Zion, the daughter of Zion. V'yesh l'kasha zen, we can connect this im amuvala el b'tchilat ha-maimah with what we cited at the beginning of the discourse mitorah or from Rabbi Shneur Zalman's book. The Bat Zion, the word Bat Zion, the daughter of Zion, Kai al Knesset Yisrael, relates to Jewish people b'zman ha-galut at the time of exile. Ki habitul de bat, because the selflessness of the quote-unquote daughter, mitgale b'ikar ba'avudat shebizman ha-galut, is particularly expressed in the service at the time of exile. Uchamavu b'makom acher, as is explained elsewhere, the bizman ha-galut, that at the time of exile, ubefchat b'dara de'ikvata de Mashiach, and especially the generation on the heels of Mashiach, our generation, just before Mashiach, ha'alamot v'ha'estarim hem gedolim b'me'od. The concealments, the hiddenness, are tremendous. Tremendous, tremendous concealments. V'yeshnam ha'alamot v'ha'estarim, and there are some concealments, she'adam mitzad atzmo, that the person on his or her own account, gam al yedei hakabalat ol shelo shemakabel birotzono, even if we're talking about him accepting the yoke and willingly, nonetheless, the concealment is so great, given shehu mugbal, since the person is finite, is limited, ein biyocholto lehitgabele, he or she himself would not be able to face this challenge. There are challenges that are so powerful that we would not be able to face them. V'ze sheYisrael mitgabrim gam al ha'alamot v'esterim eile, and the fact that the Jewish people in fact do face these incredible challenges, u'lefi she'abitul dekabalat ol shelahem, is because the selflessness of their acceptance of the yoke of God, who lo mitzad ha-metziut shelahem, is not because of the self, elu mitzad ha-lekut, but because of God. You see, if we are only operating from ourself, then everything is very nice when it's a very beautiful spiritual atmosphere. But when things get very difficult, then that may well fail for some people. The ability to conquer the challenge of secularization, of everything that modern Western exile implies, to face that, we need something deeper than our own spirituality. We need a divine dimension. And that's what this discourse is about, the triggering off of this divine dimension beyond ourselves completely. And when we are triggering off the divine dimension, mipnei shehakadosh baruch hu bacha behem liot lo lavadim, we are triggering off this window that God chose the Jewish people to be his servants. Ulegabe elokut, and in relation to God, ein hagbalot, there are no limitations. And so therefore, in that field, suddenly we are invincible. Because it's not our power at all. It's the divine power. And it's something else. And with that divine power, the person is able to face the most incredible challenges which confront them as a Jew in the difficulties of the modern world. Not necessarily a difficulty of something being antagonistic, then you know, and then you can fight back. It's more when it's la dolce vita, you know, the assimilatory flow where there's
like
so many
ways of modern life.
That's right. And the person is sucked into this, and they don't realize where they're going at all. So this is an amazing thing, that it's through, in a sense, our lowest dimension that we're able to trigger off this supreme power which enables us to face challenges which our more spiritual qualities would not be able to face. V'zeo she'haftorah b'shabbat parshat ba'alot acha, and that's why the haftorah of our Shabbat, she'la'achalei zman matan Torahteinu, which comes indeed after the giving of the Torah, is this rani v'simchi batzion, this ode to the daughter of Zion, expressing galut, af she'enyan v'amala diyom chatunato zeh matan Torah, even though we've got the glory of matan Torah described as the wedding of the Jewish people with God, hu atara she'itcha lo emor, the crown that his mother made, these higher spiritual dimensions, ki tachlit hakavana ba'bitul de'imi, because the real goal of the spirit, of the selflessness of the mother, quote unquote, of Chag HaShavuot, who Sha'al Yedei Zeh, is that through that higher level, Yagiu Achakach LeBitul Na'aleh Biyoter, we should come to an even greater level of selflessness, Bitul the Biti, the Bitul of the daughter, the selflessness of the daughter of Zion. So from the very highest level, we go on to an even higher level, which is actually down here, and is something relevant to everyone. See, that's the Hasidic Knech. What's the difference between the Hasidic movement and the Kabbalists? The Kabbalists were concerned and were teaching for people who were going higher and higher and higher, very, very spiritual people, even more spiritual, with more levels of self-restraint and self-transformation and Ruach HaKodesh and revelations of Elijah the Prophet, all kinds of things. And Hasidism reaches for something which is on a much higher level, which is shared by everyone. That's the Kabbalist climbs up the mountain, away from the crowd. And Hasidism, the Baal Shem Tov, focuses on that which every person in the crowd has got, and is really the real treasure of Jewish teaching.
But if you reach the higher level, the highest level, by the simplest mitzvah, then why bother with the Torah teaching, the Torah learning, and the Mesiras Nefesh?
Well, you have to discover that your simple mitzvah has such tremendous significance. And in order to discover that, you have to learn a lot of Torah, and through that you will have Mesiras Nefesh. You need to learn a lot of Torah in order to discover the simplicity, the greatness of the simplicity of the simple man. Like the Baal Shem Tov taught, the grandeur of the simple man. Yes, the simple man in the synagogue who rejoices with his, with his lulav or whatever.
Yeah.
But in order to appreciate that, you have to be one of the talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, studying the Baal Shem Tov's teachings and living accordingly in order to appreciate the grandeur of the simple man, and help that simple man achieve that grandeur by going to his house with a lulav when it's a cotton, saying, "Would you like to bench lulav?"
So you have to learn, be sophisticated, and remain simple at the same time.
Absolutely, yes. That's the kunst.
According to this, if you lose the simplicity, so you've lost everything.
Well, so there are a number of techniques for maintaining the simplicity. And one of them is having a Rebbe. When a person has a Rebbe, and they know that whatever spiritual or, religious qualities they come across, actually they are connected to their Rebbe, and their Rebbe is like the guide who is drawing them through the undergrowth and climbing up the mountain or down into the valley or becoming being a simple man. The Rebbe enables the person to be a simple person. And that is I heard a story that, in Russia, at the time of the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, the fourth, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, so Chabad Hasidism was all over Russia. And there were many very, very outstanding Rabbonim who were followers of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So they would come, the railway went to a place called Runya, which is near Lubavitch, but the railway didn't go all the way to Lubavitch. The last bit you had to have a cart. And there was a cart driver called Pesha de Balagola. Pesach. Pesha de Balagola. Pesha the cart driver. So this eminent rabbi from some, you know, large city where there are many, many congregants, you know, and he's coming here to come to Lubavitch to visit the Tzemach Tzedek, the third, fourth Lubavitch Rebbe, comes along, and there's Pesha the Balagola. And Pesha treats everyone the same. He's not, it doesn't make any difference to him if you're a yeshiva bacher or an eminent rabbi, you know. Put your bag over here, you know, climb up into the... Immediately, as you climbed up into the wagon, you felt your eminence evaporate, and you were becoming a genuine, simple chassid again.
You know, bumping in the car.
That's right, and then bumping in the car. I used to think about this being in 770, that a Verbrengen of the Rebbe, you know, and everyone is like crowding in and trying to have a place or something. And you could have the head of the Lubavitch in Italy, the head of Lubavitch here, you know, and there's the completely beyond any of these concepts of importance, significance. At that point, the person is a chassid, and that power to be a chassid, that enables us to transcend ourselves in a very deep and very important way. So, in fact, that is what the discourse goes on to say. So let's just take the last section, Vav. Umadayik hakosav roni v'simchi batzion, and the verse says, sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion, shekima Torah mitzvot zion, that the keeping of Torah mitzvot tzarich liot lorat habitul has to be not only with selflessness, daughter, but also with joy. Sing and rejoice. Now, how can you have this joy? But צריך להבין, we have to understand. כאשר אדם הוא במצב שאין לו תענוג וחיות בתורה מצוות. When a person is in such a low state that he doesn't actually get any spiritual high from doing the mitzvah. It's mitzvah sanoshim lumod in a certain sense. It's like just ordinary. וקיים תורה מצוות שלו, he's keeping the Torah mitzvot. It's just, he has to do it. And then it says, it's not really that he has Kabbalat Ol, it's that God is making him have Kabbalat Ol. You know, it's not even I choose to have Kabbalat, it's just somehow God is forcing it on him. Eich yachol lifol batzmo. How can he achieve shekiyum haTorah mitzvot shelo yeh besimcha, that his keeping of Torah mitzvot should be with joy? Ve'inyan hu, and the inyan is the yesh od perush bebat Zion. There's another perush of Bat Zion. Zion, the daughter of Zion. Zion heim atzadikim. Zion means the tzadikim. Bat Zion hu et kashrut imat Zion. Bat Zion, the daughter of Zion, means being connected with a rebbe, with a tzadik. Val yedeyit kashrut letzadikim, and through being bonded to a rebbe, ubefchad l'nesiyah Yisrael, to the leaders of the Jewish people, she'inyanam hu, that their quality is lahamshich gilu elokut, to bring down a divine revelation l'chol Yisrael, to every Jew, ubefchad l'makusharim m'shayachim aleim, and especially to someone who has a connection with that rebbe. And here the rebbe is talking about the previous Lubavitcher rebbe. Because we're moving in. You see, the 15th of Sivan is when the previous Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, was arrested, and in 1927, because of his work to strengthen Judaism in Russia, and they nearly killed him, and in the end, thank God, he was released on the 12th of Tammuz. And so, this part of the discourse is addressing that concept that it's our connection with the Rebbe, which has a tremendous power. Al yedei ze nimshach lo, through this there is drawn to the person netinat koach, an empowerment. Shekiyum haTorah mitzvot shelo yeh besimcha, the one's keeping of Torah mitzvot should be with joy. Chani besimchi, sing and rejoice. Ubechal zeh, included in this, hu gam shelo yiyu lo bilbulim inyanim gashmiim. One shouldn't have any confusions from material things, because one of the things about having a relationship with the Rebbe, one asks the Rebbe for a bracha. And with the help of Hashem, the bracha is effective, and one is able to go forward, and the confusions of material life dissolve away with the help of the bracha from the Rebbe, so one is able to serve Hashem with a clear heart, b'li nidnud da'aga, without any worry whatsoever in one's heart. You know, the typical caricature of the chassid is always happy. You know, that's the, why is the chassid always happy? Because, yeah, you go beyond the bilbilim, the confusions, don't worry. Rani v'simchi, rejoice and sing and rejoice. Gam v'negeya, also concerning levoni chayim azonya levichi, the general blessing of children, health, and parnosa in an abundant way, with the help of God.
What do modern day Lubavitchers do to get a bracha from the Rebbe?
You write a letter to the Rebbe and you fax it to the oil.
Yeah, but how do you get the bracha?
Well, the Rebbe, I heard the Rebbe myself. I was in 770. And the Rebbe said, you can rely on the fact. He was talking about people who wrote to the Rebbe asking for a bracha. Then they wrote a second letter a month later. Did you get my letter asking for a bracha? So the Rebbe said, you can rely on the fact that the post is effective. And you can also rely on the fact that when I'm asked to give a bracha, I give a bracha. Yeah. Yeah, so you know you have the bracha. You ask a bracha for a good thing, the Rebbe gives you a bracha. You're not asking for a bracha to rob a bank. You know, then the Rebbe might say,
so
well,
you get it even though there's no Rebbe.
Well, the Rebbe's there in spiritual terms.
Okay.
I mean, the whole Jewish people are there in spiritual terms. Moses, Abraham, you know, our great-great-grandparents. When there's a wedding, the departed ancestors.
But if this was so, why did it need to carry on from the first, or even...
Well, that's a very good question, and one of the interesting differences between the Hasidic movement and the earlier Kabbalists is that the Kabbalists saw this spiritual function of a great tzaddik only after they had passed away. And the Hasidim came up with the great chidush, the great new idea that there are tzaddikim who are so great that even when they're alive, they're able to achieve this kind of spiritual bonding and connecting of people with Hashem. So there
and
was...
Now, even though they're dead, it's the same.
Yes, absolutely. And there were, even at the beginning of the Hasidic movement, first of all, there was Rav Nachman of Breslov. It's a famous case that when he passed away, his Hasidim did not appoint another Rebbe, and they saw him as their continued Rebbe all the way through time. The Rabbi Shneur Zalman, when he passed away, there was a group among his followers who believed that he would continue to be their Rebbe. They would go to his grave and things like that. And
that's still going on. I mean, at present it's going on in the Mizrahi Jews with the one who was 106, Avadia Yosef, who's died, who...
No, Abu Chatzer, I think.
Very much alive.
Yeah, thank God, yeah. No, but the tzaddikim of the past.
No, but what was the one then? The one
who... Not the Baba Sali.
No, Baba Sali. Kaduri. Kaduri. Talking about, who died at 106.
Right.
And now there's a story that he left some note saying about that he was the Messiah, or the Messiah, something about the Messiah. Well, this is Messiah's bean.
Bean?
Yeah, there's a whole new thing going on at prison with that.
Look, I mean, there are lots of different spiritual pathways in modern Jewish life, especially in Israel.
I like that.
Israel's a very intensely spiritual place.
Because then that explains why there's so many going up, you know, to... the various
We had Lag Ba'Omer not long ago, and tens of thousands of people went to Meron in Neir Tzvat, where it's the grave of Rashbi, the author of the Zohar. Yes, sir.
They're doing that all the time. And yes. Going back to Morocco also.
That could well
to graves in Morocco.
And there are people
who but that's like Hasidim go to Morocco. Graves in Russia.
Yeah.
Bringing bones from Morocco to Israel.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. In other words, the whole idea of Kivrei Tzadikim, the graves of the righteous, and the point is having a sense of connection with the
They brought Herzl's bones to Israel.
Yeah.
No, but it's the same thing.
Okay.
Not quite. Well, it is, actually. Isn't Zionism a religion?
All
isn't it?
Hopefully not.
Well, I think it is.
Well, you think Zionism is a religion?
Yes, I do. It's a secular religion.
One second. Let's just finish the discourse.
Yes.
Last four lines.
Well, it's a modern form of religion. That's all.
The trouble is it needs non-secular forms of religion in order to sustain it.
This book on what is
because
Zionism
otherwise we get to the post-Zionist stage and it disappears, you know, so it needs the input.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Va'al yedei itkashchut letzadikim v'an nesim shebechol dor. Through itkashchut. Itkashchut is the quality of bonding to a rebbe. Asking a bracha from a rebbe. ומש נוגע לנו במיוחד, and especially את קשחות לכבוד קדושת מורי וחמי אדמון נשיא דורני, especially what applies to us is being bonded to the previous Rebbe. You see, the Rebbe always presented himself as helping people bond to the previous Rebbe. יבטלו כל העלמות והסתרים, all the concealments and the difficulties, they will all be nullified, they will all evaporate. Kolel gam bitul ha'elem de galut, including the evaporation of the concealment of exile itself.